Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
What about you in life? Are you a risk taker? Do you believe in taking risks? What do you think about risks? You know, you've heard of maybe IQ, which is your intelligence quotient, or EQ, your emotional quotient. But what about your RQ, your risk quotient? How good are you at taking risks? Do you believe that R-I-S-K is the way you spell faith? Do you believe that? I think it is. R-I-S-K is the way you spell faith. Many people in life, they don't enter into all that God has for them. They don't enter into the land. They don't enter into the fullness of all God has for them because they're fearful. Are you fearful? Are you going to take the risks? Are you going to step up and step into all God's got for you? He has so much for you. But you've got to be prepared sometimes to step out. If I look at my life, Bobby's life, we've had to take risks. And those risks have paid off by God's grace. You know, there's foolish risks and there's measured risks. I mean, when it comes to your house, your home, you guys all live in London, so many of you don't have a house or don't have a home. You live somewhere, but unfortunately someone else owns it. But those of you who do, like, a measured risk is you don't basically bet against your home. You don't put your home at risk. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way I've always lived. I've always lived like our house is our house and that money is there and we don't risk that money. So there's measured risk, there's unmeasured risk. Live your life in a way where your risk is measured. In other words, you don't just take stupid risks, foolish risks. But you understand the power of faith. The power of faith means that you step out, you live your life beyond yourself. You live your life according to the promise of God. And you watch how God blesses you, brings you into his promise, takes you beyond what you could ever imagine, what you could ever or think. That's the God that we serve. So the question was, what's the land like? It's incredible how people see things differently. The 10, what they saw in the land was full of negativity and doubt and fear. The 2, what they saw in the land was entirely different. How do you see? What do you see? Do you see things according to the promise of God, or do you see things according to fear and doubt? I think it's such an important question. God's got so much for you. God has got so much for you. Are you going to step into his promise? Are you going to step into his goodness? Are you going to step into all that he has for you? Or are you going to live your life fearful, doubtful, negative? So important that we take the risk. So what would it look like if you do? Or what would it look like if you don't? Whatever's in front of you right now, what would it look like if you do? Or what would it look like if you don't? Second question was this. Are the people strong or weak? Chapter 13, verse 28, it says this. But the people living there are powerful. It says in verse 32, verse 33, all the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. You know what? So many people, they look at life, they look at the things in front of them, and feel like grasshoppers, feel small, feel like, I can't do this, I can't step up there, I can't move into that. What about you? Do you see the promise God has for your life? Do you see the goodness of God on your life? So many questions there. Are the people strong or weak? You know, so easy to live our life according to our own weakness rather than living according to his strength. You know, the Bible says to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when you are weak, then you are strong. Jesus said, my grace is all sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Your weakness is a perfect fit for God's strength. And so the question is, are the people living there powerful? You see, Caleb, he saw something entirely different. The people living there are powerful, is what the 10 saw. Listen to it. They were ruled by the way they saw. In verse 28, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We saw giants there. It's amazing what we see. It's amazing what we allow ourselves to see. What do you see in life? What do you see? What do you see? Do you see promise? Do you see possibility? Do you see opportunity? Do you see the goodness of God? Or do you see giants? Opposition, difficulty, challenge. What do you see? Listen to it again. The people living there are powerful, they said. They're powerful. They're ruled by their own weakness. They're ruled by the way they see. They're ruled by the way they feel. Listen to it. We even saw grasshoppers there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. What we see, how we feel, these things frame our lives. What do you see? How do you feel? Did you get up this morning feeling like a grasshopper? Or did you get up this morning feeling like a man or woman of God? How do you feel? How do you feel? What do you feel? They're ruled by the way they see. They're ruled by the way they felt. They're ruled by what others saw and thought. Listen to it. It says, chapter 13, verse 33, and that's what we thought too. So it says this, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Are you ruled by what other people think? It's so easy to let other people's thinking frame our thinking. They thought we were grasshoppers. We thought we were grasshoppers. What do you think? You've been at an awesome conference this week. I mean, God moved incredibly. Did you come out of there feeling like, I'm a child of God. God's got so much for my life. What did you come out of there feeling like? I'm a grasshopper. I can see it. They can see it. Don't let other people decide how you live your life. Don't let other people rule your mind, rule your thinking. I look back on Bobby's in my life and I look back at the goodness of God. And man, I'm glad I never lived my life according to what everyone else thought. Because if I lived my life according to what everyone else thought, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing today. I had to live my life according to the promise of God. So is the land good or bad? Are the people weak or strong? These are the questions that Moses was asking the people. So many of them saw weakness. So many of them saw what was bad. So many of them, their lives had never gone on to amount to anything. I read you the 10 names. Many people here, some people would have got them. Some people would have known what I was talking about. Most people, you're like, who are these people? They're all in the Bible. They're all in the Bible. But they were framed by what they saw, what they thought, what other people thought. It goes on here and says, and again, verse 33, and that's what they thought too. Caleb said, listen to it, they are helpless prey to us. He saw something totally different. I think in life it's so easy for us to get ruled by the world around us and ruled by the mindset, the mentality of the people around us. But Caleb saw something different. It's like two different narratives, and yet they're both telling the same story. You know, in life we can have a narrative that is so defeated, so negative, so ruled by what we can't do, what we are not able to afford, what we can't possibly do. And you know what? I think God's got so much for you. He has so much for you. He has promise, he has purpose, he has power. But you gotta see through the frame of faith, R-I-S-K, faith, and not see through the eye of doubt. We live in a world that's full of doubt. We live in a world that's full of negativity. We live in a world that follow what we can't do. Sometimes as a person who loves Jesus Christ, you've got to decide, I'm not going to live by what I see or what I think or what other people think. I'm going to live by a different power altogether. So Caleb said, do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are helpless prey. Wow, what he saw was so different. They're like helpless prey. They got no chance, he said. These people got no chance. We got God on our side. He was seeing something entirely different. Today, when you got up, what were you seeing? What were you thinking? How were you feeling? Man, I tell you, the Word of God is so full of life and promise and power. And sometimes we have to decide, I'm going to live my life framed by what God says and not what the world out there says. What are you living your life like? Listen to it. In verse 30, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can, hear that? We can certainly conquer it. He was saying, we can. The very next verse, the people were saying, we can't. Listen. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't. Are you a can or can't person? I used to tell my kids, they used to hate it. I would always tell my kids when they were young. You know, they'd say, oh, I can't do this, I can't. I'd say, there's no such word as can't. And they'd get so annoyed with me. They're so annoyed because I never let the can't word come into their vocabulary. Are you a can or a can't do person? Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? You know what? Serving Jesus Christ is a faith life. And living a faith life means we are can people, not can't people. We're in England. The world's negative out there. People have all of these reasons. Why not? I mean, can England win the World Cup? Nah. Will they do well? Nah. Did they do well? Yes. And I loved it. It's the only sport that I actually follow England in. Because if you're Australian, you know you're not going to win, so you just choose a side. When I was a kid, Premier League was on Sunday, the only one channel in New Zealand. So growing up, the only one channel, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you'd have the game of the day. So I've always loved the Premier League and soccer, football. So, excuse me. Football. I've always been an England supporter. Only sport. But how were people going into the World Cup? How'd they do? Good. Great. Almost made the final. Are you a can-do or a can't-do person? Be a can-do person. My God can. Your God can. Everything is possible to him. Listen to it. You know, negativity can so easily frame our world. I think it's really important that you live your life in a way where the people around you, if you're living your life defeated, it would show up. Because the people around you, they'd be like, what's that? Are you around people who their negativity frames your life so that when you're negative, they don't even notice because that's the world they live in. That's why I love the fact that in church we speak God's word. We speak words of life. We speak words of power. We speak words of promise. I love that because It's so easy out there to be framed by the people around us. So easy to allow other people to rule our world. And that "I can't" attitude can so lock you into the defeat that the 10 showed. They all said, "We can't." Listen to it again. The other men who had explored the land with him disagreed with Caleb. "We can't go up against them," they said. He said, "We can. Be a can-do person. Decide. I'm a child of God. His word frames my life. I can live according to his word. I can live according to his promise." Our environment, the input we get, all of these things are so important. You know what? I'm a huge believer in small groups. Our church has, I'm not sure what you call them here, but in Australia we call them connect groups, small groups. And you know what? It's so good that you get around people who believe the word of God, who speak into you the word of God, who speak into you the promise of God, because they are can-do people. What God can do in your life is exceeding and abundant and above anything you could ever ask or think. It's what the word of God says, exceeding, abundant, and above. But we allow other things to frame our world and frame our thinking, so we just look at what we can't do and what's impossible and how difficult it all is and how challenging it all is. Hey, you can. Tell someone next to you, you can. Tell them you can. You can. Caleb said, "We can." The people said, "We can't." And then the next question, number four, is the place good or bad? You know what? That's actually a great question. Is London good or bad? It's difficult to live in London. It's like rent is so expensive. We have to live with other people in the same house so we can afford to live in London. It's amazing how easy it is to see what's tough, what's difficult, what's bad. You know what? If God's called you to be in London, it's good. Forget the rest. It's good. It's good. Good for who? Good for what? Listen to the verses. Chapter 14, verse 3, the 10 said, "Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt?" It's incredible how easily we start looking backwards. Wouldn't it be better back there? Wouldn't it be better to go back to what we once had? Hey, listen, God's hand is on your life. And when God's hand is on your life, what the world may see as bad, believe me, it's good. I look at my life, I look at Bobby's in my life, and I look at the opportunities we've had. Sometimes you look at life and you think, man, this is not good. This is tough, this is difficult. But if you're in the will of God, believe me, it's good. Is the land good or bad? That was the question. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Listen to Numbers chapter 14, verse 31 and verse 33. You said your children will be carried off as plunder. Well, I bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what would be carried off. Sorry, I'm struggling to read my own writing here. I'll just read it up here. I'll bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you will drop dead in this wilderness, man, and your children will be like shepherds wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. This is a difficult scripture. It's a challenging scripture. It's talking about your heritage, talking about your children. It's talking about those who come after you. And because they couldn't see what God had for them, because they didn't believe, because they were framed by what they saw, what they thought, what they felt, what other people think. Sadly, the impact was on their heritage. Their impact was on their children. Caleb, the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 24, he has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. You know, the question was, is the land good or bad? The promise for Caleb was his children would inherit, his descendants would inherit all that God had for them. The others, the Bible says, they would basically be, sadly be, like people in the wilderness, lost. I see people make choices in life, and when they make faith decisions and step out and live their life according to God's promise, you see the impact on their kids. But when they live their life according to negativity or doubt or fear or offense, letting someone else rule you. I went to the such and such church and people there, they offended me and I'm hurt. And you know what the sad thing is? You see it in their children. Their children are like in the wilderness, lost. God's got promise for your life and he's got promise for those who come after you. Live your life according to the promise of God. Do it for your kids. Do it for your children. Maybe you don't have children yet, but there's a good chance you will. Live your life according to God's word, God's promise, and then you'll see the impact on your family, on your children, on those who come after you. And then the next question, are there walls or open fields? The people said, we saw walls. We saw big walls. We saw walls. Listen to it. Do their towns have walls? Or are they unprotected? Moses is asking. Like open camps. Do their towns have walls? Or are they unprotected? Like open camps. Chapter 13, verse 28. The people living there are powerful, they said. And their towns are large and fortified. Man, they saw blockages, walls. The walls were so big. They said, man, the walls were large and the cities were fortified. You know, some scholars say that in actual fact, these people weren't giants at all. It's just that when people saw the size of the walls, they imagined that the people were giants. Sometimes in life, we see giants. We create them in our own world. We create them in our own lives. Are the cities walled and fortified? Or do you live your life believing it's open fields? God's got open fields for you. God's goodness is on your side. Don't be framed by the negativity that maybe you learned from your parents, or maybe that the small town you came from, the small church you came from, it built this thinking into your life. Live your life believing they're open fields. Jesus said, when his disciples, they just wanted to give him something to eat. And he's saying, open your eyes, see the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Do you know in your life, the fields are ripe for the harvest. There's a world out there. Sky News, BBC, ABC, that's Australian Broadcasting Corporation. You know, it's just stuff coming. CNN. Fox News. It just comes at you. And we start seeing the walls as fortified. We start seeing the difficulty, the challenge. And you know what? The faith life is entirely different. Caleb was a man of faith. Caleb was a man of courage. Caleb was a man who went against the flow. They're all saying this. He was saying something entirely different. They saw it as bad. He saw it as good. They saw their weakness. He saw the strength. You know, it's just so easy to allow the world around us to frame our thinking. I already said we've been in this conference, which was so full of life and so full of power and so full of the Holy Spirit. You know what? You get in an environment like that and you start seeing God possibility. There's more. 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 Are you a more person or a less person? Is the world framing your thinking? Or is the Word of God framing your thinking? Is the place good or bad? That was the question. Caleb, chapter 14, verse 24, he has remained loyal to me. So I'll bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Are there walls or are there open fields? It's so amazing how people can look at the same thing and see it so differently. In chapter 13, verse 28, the people living there are powerful and the towns are large and fortified. Caleb, they're helpless prey. That's what he said. They're just helpless prey to us. Do not rebel against the Lord. Chapter 14, verse 9. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They're just helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. What an amazing attitude. What an amazing spirit. You know what? If you're a can-do person, if you believe the Word of God, you take God at His Word. You become a can-do person, not a can't-do. We're surrounded by negativity. We're surrounded by defeat. We're surrounded by thinking that can so easily frame our thinking. Caleb, he didn't do that. And what he saw was the exact opposite over and over again to the people around him. You see, they all looked at the natural. Caleb looked at the spiritual. Are you looking at the natural? You're looking at the spiritual. What are you looking at? What do you see? What do you think? How do you feel? Does what other people think, how other people feel, rule your world? I think they're great questions to ask. So easy to see obstacles. So easy to see walls. You know, our church in Australia, where I live, and I love you guys, looking forward to being home. Our Hills campus, which is pretty well our headquarters, Bobby and I started there 35 years ago. And there was so much that was impossible. In the office I had back in those days, it was a warehouse, and it looked out over a road called Windsor Road. And across, literally across from my office, there was a big sign for sale. It was what now is Norwest. It's just fields, no roads, nothing, just fields with kind of long grass. And I used to look at that land, and it was impossible. It was absolutely impossible. It was too expensive. It just wasn't possible. And apart from anything else, there was no roads even. There was nothing to see, just long grass. And I used to look at the sign every day, for sale, right out my office. And I can remember thinking to myself, well, we could never afford to go in there. We could never afford to have church in there. And it ruled me for so long. But one day, someone took me into that place, and Norwest it's called, and the real estate agent, you know what he said? He said, nah, you guys are a church. You can't afford to be in here. He literally said, you can't afford to be in here. Well, I saw it as a challenge. I'm like, okay, all right, let's find out. Let's see. I literally walked away. I walked away and left the guy who was with me talking to the real estate agent. And Not only are we in that land today, it's just fields, nothing to see. Walls are open fields. They were open fields. You know, right now, next year, there's going to be a railway station right across the road. No one talked then about railway stations. No one said, hey, you can catch a train in the city and be out here and trains will come every 5 minutes. But that's what's happening. That's what's happening. You know what? It's so easy to see walls. We have huge faith in London that God's going to give us miracles when it comes to buildings. And it will take miracles. But we're going to decide, do we see the walls or do we see open fields? What do you see? What do you see in life? Oh, we could never have our own place in London. Really? Who says? Walls or open fields? What do you see? You know what? These people, they brought back a cluster of grapes that took two people to carry. There was so much fruit. Everyone could see the fruit. But 10 of them thought, yeah, that's not ours. We can't touch that. Two of them saw something totally different. What do you see? What do you believe? Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe God can be true to His Word in your life? Do you believe God can do the impossible? Do you believe when everything says you can't, that God's Word says you can? Do you believe it? Or do you not believe it? The sixth question was, is the soil fertile or poor? Is it fertile or poor? Listen to it. Chapter 13, verse 32, so they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through, they said, listen to it carefully. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. The land we traveled through and explored. Listen to Caleb's word. He said in chapter 14, verse 7 and 8, they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored, it's a wonderful land. It's a wonderful land. I love that. It's a wonderful land. They gave a bad report about the land. Caleb says, it's a wonderful land. Listen to it. He says, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. It is rich. It's a rich land, flowing with milk and honey. What he saw was so different to what the world saw. You know what? If you let the Word of God frame your life, what you see is so different than what the world sees. Jesus said in the New Testament, he says, speak to this mountain of faith. It's going to move. How do you move a mountain? Like, I don't know anywhere in the Bible where a mountain literally actually physically moved. But listen to the verse. It's Matthew 17, verse 19 and 20. It says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Talking about demons. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there. Think about that. Move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Move from here to there. What does that mean? What does that mean? Like I said, geographically, there's nothing in the Bible that ever says a mountain moved from here to there. What if it wasn't from here to there? What if it was from here to there? You understand what I'm saying? Instead of being in your windscreen, it's in your rear vision mirror. God, living the faith life, living the life of promise, took you forward, took you onward. And what was an obstacle, what was a mountain, it's moved. You used to see it in your window. You used to see it in your windscreen. But now, it's in your rear vision mirror. You've seen things differently because you trust God. Caleb, trust God. And the word was full of promise for him. Do you trust God? Do you see what God has for you? Or do you see the challenge? Man, it's so easy to see the challenge. The land we traveled through and explored, Caleb said, they both said, the land we traveled through and explored. But the people, the land we traveled through and explored, will devour anyone who goes up there. Caleb, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. You know, you look at life and you think, is it good or bad? Good for who? Good for what? Gary did an incredible session in the afternoon at Hillsong Conference talking about changing the narrative, helping people. And one of the speakers there was Jeremy Courtney. You know, Jeremy, American guy, lives in Iraq. And his ministry's in Iraq and Syria. Is the land good or bad? Well, for me, it would be bad. For him, it's good. He's in the will of God. If God's called you to London, is it tough? Is it too hard? Is it challenging? Is the land good or bad? Depends on the will of God for your life. Gary and Kathy came here. They had nothing except two little tiny children. They came and lived in the tiniest house. Has the land been good or bad? You tell me. You tell me. Is the land good or bad? It's all about living in the will of God, if God's called you. You know, we have Hillsong Church in countries that people have said negative things about. God can't move there. It's difficult. Portugal. God. Brazilians or Portuguese, I wonder. Hey, because every crowd has Brazilians in every single crowd, anytime, anywhere. Every time. So, is the land good or bad? If you're in God's will, the land is good. Believe me. Oh, it's tough, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's hard. If you're in the will of God, the land is good. Jeremy Courtney, his wife's name's Jessica. And I saw an Instagram post where she was talking to him. He was in Syria, she was in Iraq. And she said, give my love to Syria. It just blessed me. I'm like, these people, they don't know what they're doing. They're in Syria. They're in Iraq. What are they doing? But the land's good. They love it. They love it. They love the people. They love the call of God on their life. If London's where God's called you, believe me, the land is good. Stop looking at the negativity. Stop looking at the bad report. Stop looking at the problem. The land is good. It's a good land. It's a good land. It's a good land. Finally, Moses asked, are there trees? Yeah, of course, trees speak of fruit, fruitfulness. Are there trees? Can I just tell you right now? There's trees. God's got fruit for you. God's got fruitfulness. Your own children will be blessed if you step out and live the faith life and live the life that God's called you to. Man, I tell you, these people, their children, the Bible said, would just be like lost in the wilderness. It's like going to the Middle East, going to Israel, you see Bedouins, they just live out there in the desert, just live in tents, and they kind of live in the wilderness. I've seen far too many kids, because of their parents' choices, spiritually speaking, living in the wilderness, just in the wilderness. And God has got so much more. I know I'm speaking to a demographic here, I'm speaking to people here who maybe many of you don't even have kids yet, but do it for the kids. People say, oh, what about the children? I mean, that's what these people are saying. Our children will perish. It's like they were looking at the negativity and the doubt, and they're fearful about their children. And so they let their children frame the idea that we can't, we won't. It's bad. It's negative. It's fortified. There's walls. And they thought they're doing it for their kids. You know what? You live the life of faith. You step out. Do it for the kids. Do it for the kids. Don't try and stop the kids from entering into God's promise. Do it for them. I've got 3 kids, 7 grandkids. Believing for a couple more yet. And I'm believing, but not much happening. But anyway, we've got 3 kids. And I see them all serving God in their own way. They're not perfect kids. They're far from it. I mean, I'm their dad, so how could they be perfect? But I see them in the will of God, and I see them serving God in their own way. And I'm just glad. I'm just glad that Bobby and I make choices that our kids wanted to follow and be a part of. So today, they live all over the world. They don't live with us anymore, but they're still in our world serving Jesus. Why? Because we make choices. You know what? We try to protect our families, try to protect our lives, try to protect everything. We make the small choices. Make the big choices. Are there trees? Absolutely, there's trees. And they're full of fruit. They're full of blessing. They're full of promise. Like it says in the Old Testament in the Psalms, you know, it's fat and promising. Fat as in flourishing and promising. The trees were fat and flourishing. But some people can't see the wood for the trees. In other words, they're looking at this. They don't see that. What do you see in life? What do you see? Do you see God's promise? Are you too busy looking back? Just a couple more scriptures. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. The whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. They started looking backwards. You know what? Maybe you look at where you come from. Maybe it's a great place, a beautiful place. But is it your promised land? Is it your promised land? Egypt was not their promised land. Where's your promised land? Maybe you don't know yet. Maybe you're not sure. Just stay faithful to the will of God. Stay faithful to the call of God. It's an adventure. It's a ride. It's a ride worth taking. I mean, it's the call of God, the will of God. It's just so full of surprises, good surprises. You know when your kids wandered around in the wilderness, lost spiritually, not knowing their place? You want your kids to live their lives according to the power and the promise of God. And you know what? The way you live your life is critical to that. Absolutely critical. They started looking back. They started looking around. Finally, Numbers chapter 14, verse 4. Then they plotted among themselves. They said, let's choose a new leader. I'm sick of this guy. This Moses, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. They started looking around. It's funny when life's not working out for us, how we just blame the leader, blame the pastor, blame the church, blame the government, blame whoever. You start looking around, you get distracted. Look to God. You know what? The call of God, the will of God is so exciting. It's such an adventure. It's so full of promise and power. And there'll always, always be a vision, if you want to see it, that involves negativity and doubt, fear. There's always a reason why not. But what if you start living by the Word of God and start deciding, I'm going to look for why, not why not. I'm going to start living according to why, not why not. You watch what God can do in your life. You watch. It's amazing. I look at all these young pastors here. All these young pastors, you know, they're making big sacrifices. They're not making a whole lot of money. Gary's too tight. They're not making a lot of money. They're not. You know, they're in London and they're serving Jesus and they're in an awesome, healthy church and they're on a trajectory towards all that God's got for them. It'd be so easy for any of them to think, you know what, I go back to the business world, I go back to Australia, I go back to South Africa. You know, it's too hard. Don't believe that. If God's called you to be here, He's called you to be here. His plan is on your life. Your kids are going to prosper. Your children are going to prosper. There's trees. There's trees. There's trees. Are you hearing me? There's trees. And the trees are full of fruit. But you've got to decide. You got to decide, what am I called to? What do I want? How do I want to live my life? The faith adventure is the greatest way anyone could ever live their life. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand. Let's worship Jesus together. Everybody, let's worship Jesus together. Amen.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.